America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Wilson.
Howard Dean me there?
Jonathan Peterlin. What'd I do?
Yeah!
Did I yaw?
I thought so. Did I hear a yaw?
Did I do that before or after my... I opened my mic.
No, it was before.
I was making fun of a mutual friend of ours with love off air. But we got 1 hour to go. And of course, that means we got Thursday Night Football tonight. Bengals, Ravens. You either think that the Bengals are going to win or lose based off Joe Burrow's pregame outfit.
It was horrendous. I'm not going to judge people's pregame outfits because that's not my lane. But this one I'm going to judge the hell out of, Nick.
I think it was awful. I think you should.
I actually would love that lane if we're being honest about it.
Yeah.
I'm very good. I'm very decisive in life. Mm-hmm. I know what I like and what I don't like. And I'm very good at being like, that looks like trash, while fully acknowledging that what I'm wearing is not GQ.
I kind of feel like if this was a video show... That didn't sound great. If there was a video component to the show,
yeah,
beyond just the videos we shoot, we could just do a style segment with you, and you could just trash people. You could just this is the one right here.
Yeah.
So do you think? Because there's always a thing though. Do you think when Joe Burrow, I would really love to know the Peterlin effect here of what his record is when he dresses like a bum like he did tonight or a goofball. And what is his record when he dresses well?
I'm sure James Rapine can get to the bottom of it. We can have him figure this out.
We're going to have to get him to figure it out.
By the way, for people being like, oh, I see the videos. You don't dress particularly well yourself. How dare you judge? Yeah, I also don't play center field for the Guardians either. It doesn't mean I don't have an opinion on it.
Yet. And by the way, just because, like, you kind of dress the golfer look.
I'm constantly waiting for somebody to be like, hey, can you go play nine with me right now? That's what I'm constantly waiting on.
But I'm always impressed when somebody tells me, my wife asks for my fashion advice, because that will never happen in my house, and nor should it, because she would look Amish or something. I would never do that to Vanessa.
My older sister, she taught me fashion. I know fashion. I don't always incorporate fashion, but I know fashion.
My grandfather, my father, dapper men, dressed really well, taught me nothing. They taught me a lot about being a nice person to people I like. And no, they taught me a lot about, you know, like very boisterous and enjoy everybody and all that and inclusive and all that. Fashion-wise, they taught me nearly a damn thing.
It would be odd if you were just really fashionable, though.
Well, yeah, but I would look completely different.
Yeah, no, and I don't know in a good way either. I think you doing you is perfect.
Feels like an insult, but
I'm
just going to take it.
I
swear
it's not. I swear it's not. I say so many nice things to you on a consistent day in, day out basis, and I think half of them you just think I'm insulting you.
I think there's always a backhand component to some of the things that you say.
We got to free you onto this, man. It's just coming out of love. I'm just saying nice things to say nice things.
So you and I were having the conversation about who are you giving the Deshaun Watson pass to?
Yeah.
You've said Andrew Berry.
No. I did not say Andrew Berry.
Then I misheard you.
I said nobody gets the Deshaun Watson pass. Then, zero people. But I think it's not going to go that way. I think from a national perspective, from a fan perspective, Stefanski will get it. I'm just not offering it up.
So, and by the way, you're probably right. I think if anybody, sorry, I think it's most likely that if anybody gets fired, it's going to be Andrew. What's wild about this is how much of this is the two coach of the years?
Well, that's what Andrew went to in his thing. The same way every caller we take always goes to.
The two cards on why you shouldn't fire him.
Isn't that like half of a percentage point that he even won it over D'Amico Ryans last year? Wasn't that like one vote or something?
They were technically tied. Yeah, it was about first place votes.
It was about first place votes? Is that what it was?
Yep. So here's the thing about that. One, it's an award. It's not based off of anything. It's subjective. Two, that's not a defense of Kevin Stefanski. He's won two coaches. So, yeah, a lot of people think he's good at this because it's a perception thing. He's won how many games with the Browns? And the other reason why you shouldn't fire Kevin Stefanski, according to Perloff, is, well, the Browns are a bad organization. Neither of those things have any reality with what has happened the last 3 years.
Well, okay, to defend Perloff just for a second here, the idea that if you believe Jimmy Haslam can't pick out a head coach to save his life, then that would, in many ways, dictate whether or not if you have someone that you think might be halfway, like 15th, 16th, somewhere in there, that the odds would not be great that Jimmy Haslam could, you know, find a guy he likes enough to be, you know, replace that and actually be good.
216-474-0092.
That's fair, I think. It's not great. We don't want to hear it, but it is fair. You just don't want to hear it.
No, there is. Listen, there are ways of, if we're going to have an honest conversation. Like, this isn't just about firing guys. That is the easiest extension to this argument. But does there need to be some accountability here? Yes, but to hold somebody accountable, we have to admit that nobody's been perfect. I think you're doing that. I think I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that the Browns would just go, yeah, it didn't work out, now we're on to 2026. Man, that is brutal.
I think that's what's going to happen.
And I think just because a lot of things...
Not what I would do, by the way, but I think that's what's going to happen.
A lot of things in the NFL happen because they're justifiable, and usually that's firing people. It's just as bad when it's, well, we're going to keep them because it's justifiable. That takes no thought. And I think I've never heard this organization at any point come out, and to the people who it matters, not to you and me, but to the fans... This is why all the lies and misdirection and all that crap does matter. Because at some point, you have embarrassed this organization to such an insulting level. And guys, we're used to being insulted. We're used to 0-16. We're used to 1-15. And these fans put up with that. All right? And again, this is where I want to make it real clear. I'm not ready yet to say fire them all. If you told me today I had to make a decision, I could make a decision. And it would not be a popular one. But I'm telling you right now, this whole thing, you don't get to embarrass us in this specific way. It's not about the football. It is about what you have done. You have put a pox upon this organization with bringing in a guy with those allegations, and then the guys who brought him in didn't make it work and didn't do everything they could to make it work. And so the idea of, well, he was just a broken human, that is such a massive out.
Right,
and meanwhile, for 3 years, Browns fans have been made fun of, criticized by people outside of here. The same people who want to keep Kevin Stefanski because it's not poor widow Kevin's fault. Who the second three kids lined up to get a Deshaun autograph 3 years ago, all Browns fans were the biggest trash on the planet. And so I've seen this happen for 3 years. You have bought nothing but shame on this organization. And that is all of you, but I can't fire Jimmy.
Yeah, I just feel like they're all in this together is the idea here.
Isn't that a High School Musical thing?
All in this together?
Yeah, all in this together.
I don't think so. I may probably is. I don't know.
Did I get that right, Jax?
No, but I feel like they if they...
Yeah.
Oh, Jax, no, do you know High School Musicals, Jax?
No, High School Musical.
I just know that song.
The actual... I have no chance on that. Okay. All right.
You were making a salient point, sir.
I thought it was going to be a good one, too, and now I have no idea. They're all in it together, though, Nick. Like, that's the idea. The more and more we talk about it, because they're all so collectively in on the Deshaun Watson, whatever this ended up being, that they're either going to all get out of it together, and then they can all pat themselves on the back, and they can collectively say, well... Hey, we knew we had the right pieces and the right people and everything. We just had to get rid of that Deshaun guy. Or it just bombs and they're in the same spot that they're in right now.
Jack and Lorraine, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call, Nick.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to wholeheartedly disagree with what you guys are talking about here.
I'm
sorry about that. And to me, a GM's job is more than just the move they made for Deshaun Watson. I am going to agree with you that at this point, looking back, it was horrible. But in the, when they made the decision to make the move, they overpaid and they overestimated, but they made the right move to take a quarterback that they thought was going to be a franchise guy. Everything they saw from on the field said he was going to be a franchise guy. That didn't work out. But every other part of Barry's job, he's done good or above, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Stefanski, good or above. So to me, to fire or have the conversation about firing these guys over the one horrible move that has been made during their reign makes zero sense. You bring in a GM to put together a team that can make the playoffs. You put a coach out there that can coach these men to make the playoffs. They accomplished that 2 out of 4 seasons. And they've done that with journeyman quarterbacks and a man that performed very well off the couch. And again, those were moves by that GM. His drafting skills have been adequate or above, comparatively speaking, to every other GM throughout the league.
Wait, so, the drafting?
Jack, just because you say it doesn't mean it's true.
I agree with you, but when I go back and I look at the picks that they made and the progress that these players have made, because you need to give players 2 to 3 years to develop when you draft them, because it is such a jump from college to pro, less than 10% of the guys can make that jump. So,
Jack, which players specifically
that I think have done well?
Yeah, like Andrew Berry picks.
JOK, Grant Delpit, Newsom, without my list in front of me, it's really hard, guys, because I know we don't get a long chat here, but I would say that there is about 30 to 50% of his picks that have been average or above.
All right, Jack.
And if you can get that in the NFL, you're doing a good job.
Jack, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, Jack and I, and you and Jack disagree, but you are more critical of Andrew Berry, so I wanted to give you the floor to disagree with any of the things he might have said there.
I kind of want to go like pick by pick and just go down the list and be like, so what do you think about, and then just name all the picks and go from there.
Richard LeCount.
You can't be like 30 to 50% in your brain. Like, that doesn't work that way. It's not reality. But I don't need to tear down Andrew Berry's draft picks to make the point on Andrew Berry. That's not what any of this is really about. I mean, Andrew Berry, the sad part about Andrew Berry is he's out of games, he's out of time to go ahead and show us anything different. Like, either the Haslams love him right now or they don't. Nothing's going to change in the next eight, nine weeks off of that. Stefanski can still change, even though we can argue about whether that should or shouldn't. Stefanski can still change a lot of people's minds. But the Haslams, they should have their mind made up on Andrew Berry right now.
It's pretty crazy that we all agreed 3 years ago when this trade was made, if he plays well, this will all be worth it.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, he didn't.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the response is, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, like, okay.
I just, and again,
appreciate you trying.
I'm not saying Jack stands for everyone, and Jack is more than entitled to have his opinion. Everybody is. Like, this, we're pretty pro everybody having a different opinion. Like, we'll just disagree. But I if you had told me 3 years ago, hey, not only is it not going to work out, it's going to embarrass the franchise, it's going to enrage the franchise, and it is going to work out so poorly that the end of it, we call it the worst trade in NFL history. And I say, all right, now who's left standing? There's not a soul in the world at the time. I would not predict anyone being like,
You don't even have to stretch that far. How many coaches, how many GMs do you know get 5 years and one playoff win? And then, well, yeah, of course he's going to be the guy next year.
Unless it's like, it's
very rare.
Jerry Jones's Dubois, not very likely. When we come back, we've had enough of this negativity about the Browns. We're gonna pit positivity against positivity next on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. And I think we finally got a weigh in on the morning show's poll today. Was it you that sent it to me or Keith that sent it to me? Because there had been a whole conversation. I know Keith also got called out by the morning show today.
No, that was Keith.
All right. So we saw it this morning, and basically it was trying to put into perspective your thoughts on how impressive the Cavs 9-0 start is. So the question is, which fast start to somebody's career in town? So Kevin Stefanski's 9-3 start to the 2020 season, or Kenny Atkinson's 9-0 start was more impressive? I think you and Keith were on the same side that you're going with old Kev.
Yeah, I almost wanted to throw vote in the mix too, by the way. We could have made it way more current, because I had to take myself in the way back machine to even think about Stefanski's first year for a second, when he had multiple 4-game winning streaks in that first little stretch. Yeah, I think 9-3 is such a larger sample size in this whole entire equation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let myself get too crazy over a 9-0 start. It's great. It's fun. I love that it's happening, but I also don't. It's not the same to me as 13 games into an NFL season.
So can I? The sample size thing is really fair here. I think both are wildly impressive. Like I think 9-3 is really hard to get to. I think winning the first 9 games of the season is really hard to do, especially for a new head coach.
For sure.
And by the way, both were new head coaches, so it should be.
Now, should we have started it and said which is more impressive, the 4-1 start for Stefanski that season, and maybe tried to make the sample size a little bit better? Because he did get blown. He had the doors blown off of him on his very first game against the Ravens.
I do remember that.
De-pantsed and destroyed, and that was an awful way to start a season.
You were not here, but when Pat Shurmur's first game, he got de-pantsed
same
as
thing?
Well. Mm. The amount of folks who were ready to move on from Pat Shurmur, including people on the station, it was resounding.
Well, think about it. Like, a lot of people make up their impressions with first impressions,
yeah,
right? And that's why vote. I mean, the Guardians went 27-27 to close out the season, and he already replaced Terry Francona, so it didn't even matter. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, we got this vote guy. He's fantastic. It's like, yeah, 3 months of baseball was a great first impression for Stephen Vogt, and that'll carry him for the next couple years if he doesn't even live up to the expectations. Like, and he's got a good chance to. I like him a lot. But, like, you know what I'm saying.
I think it'll carry him for this season. But I get you and I are in agreement.
It's got
otherwise
a chance to carry him is the point. And I think that's why, even Stefanski, his first year, that's 11-5. That's you going to the postseason. Like, that's first impressions matter in a big way to fans. They'll decide instantly if they like you or don't like you.
I thought what was so interesting about the morning show having this is they both agreed that Kenny Atkinson, the 9-0, was more impressive, which is interesting because Lima, now in fairness, I think I reduced Lima's, you know, points to a little too far, but like Lima earlier in the week said that Darius Garland deserves credit for Darius's fast start and Evan Mobley does, not necessarily Kenny Atkinson.
Right. Lima had wondered what exactly Atkinson had been doing because he was soft coaching in the Olympics.
And Lima has been the key proponent in the cog of the conversation of
coaches don't matter.
Coaches don't matter in the NBA.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was a little interesting. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think this is I think the results of this, which right now it's 1,900 votes at 92.3 The Fan. Yeah, I still have 12 hours left to vote if you want to weigh in. 56% of people are saying 9-0, and I'm going to tell you why that is. It's because the Browns are 2-7. If the Browns were 7-2 right now, Kevin Stefanski's stock would be so much higher. This is, I think this actually is a point that I think, again, it's not that people are out on Kevin. It's that compared to Kenny Atkinson, who is yet to lose a game in Cleveland, Kenny's just more popular in Cleveland right now.
Would the results have changed if they'd put Steven Vogt instead of Stefanski?
Man, I think if you would put Vogt, if you put all three in there, man, I don't know that Kevin would get hardly any vote. Kevin would be the distant third.
Which is wild because 9-3 to start off an NFL career is insane.
Well, and here's there's two things that are missing here. Because somehow, some way, the thing I will never do is discount how hard it is to win in the NFL and how impressive it was if you were a first-year head coach winning during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that year. And people explain it, well, it's fluky because of the pandemic. No, it makes it more impressive. The world was shut down, and you had such a small window to get your guys ready for the season. That is an incredibly impressive thing. And here's the other thing. They righted the ship to that point. They had talent previously, but they had not found a consistent winning formula. It had been
Off Freddie Kitchens. I mean, it didn't take much to see him.
Yeah,
but it was nice to see.
It's coming off the Greg Williams did a really good job, but John Dorsey didn't want to have to fight for attention or power, and so Greg got shown the door. Like, people forget the first half of that season with Hugh Jackson was an abject disaster. Oh, and by the way, the two seasons previously were 1-31. So, to me, it's not even about the sample size.
We'll always have that Baker debut at halftime.
And boy,
against the Jets, Thursday Night Football.
Was that something?
That was something. That was one of my favorite. I mean, that might be one of my favorite games ever. Like, legitimately, it was just so cool in so many different reasons. But that's the Baker Mayfield fan of me talking. Don't let that take you off track.
But I think between the fact that, Kenny Atkinson has taken over a team that was a top six seed last year, and 2 years ago was a top four seed.
So I love that you went into it. I love that you tried to break it down and you gave real actual analysis and real hey, this is why and this could be why. It's a great sports radio job by you. I think it's as simple as fans looking at 9-0 and thinking, well, they haven't lost. If you haven't lost, how can I possibly ding you? 9-0 is perfection, and that's all they're going with.
So if the Cavs were 9-1. Stefanski would be winning.
I think if it was 9-1, I think the results might change because then you'd be like, oh, that loss, though. That one loss they had to the Lakers. Oh, geez. They can be beat.
By the way, why was
it? It's as simple as it sounds stupid, but I think that might be as simple as what it is.
The morning show were like the foundation buddies with Kevin Stefanski. How did not one of them? How did Owen chime in? Did any of those guys chime in? Like, none of those guys picked Stefanski? It's a cold world out here.
I think Owen did, didn't he? Or did he not? Or did he? He might have chimed in for Vogt, if I'm being honest about it.
Okay, because I only remember, I actually didn't even hear Owen in that segment. I had heard him later in the show with something else, but I didn't hear him in that.
Somebody came to the defense of you guys are both on this side here. Right. But I don't think it was the defense of Stefanski.
Was it Keith? Because I know Keith got called out by Ken for calling them out for choosing Kenny Atkinson over Kevin Stefanski. I don't think there's any which way, by the way. You put sample size, I put the circumstances. There's no way in which what Kenny Atkinson has done.
I think it's so much harder to win in the NFL just in general. Like, I like that Atkinson is 9-0. We talked yesterday about the idea of it's like, oh, you had to go through the back-to-back, which is crazy to win off of the second night of a back-to-back in NBA today. It's just hard to do, but the way that they figured it out and they had it right and then they got the win and then we talked about even you laughed at it yesterday, the travel stuff. But the travel stuff does matter. My friends in the desert, they make it count. It matters. All these things come into play. It's hard to go 9-0, but 9-3 in football is so much harder.
So here's the other funny part about what you're saying. I also heard Lima today talk about the Cavs' winning percentage. Sorry, that was winning percentage. No. Yeah, I know. Brain fart there. The opposition winning percentage.
Oh yeah.
The strength of schedule.
Not great.
Which is not great. And I'm like, what? I don't know what we're doing. That was in the terminating interview. I listened to a lot of the Morning Boys today, and by the way, they did a wonderful job. Except on this where we disagree. Even then, they did a wonderful job.
You want to tell them they did a wonderful job one more time?
They did a wonderful job.
Good job,
you guys are wonderful.
That Termini guy really doesn't like Ken, does he?
I think it's a bit.
Okay.
I think it's just like the pony thing. I said nice things about them, and I'm going to commit to saying nice things about them. Curtis in Cleveland, real quick. Which head coach's start to their Cleveland tenure was more impressive? Kevin Stefanski's 9-3 in 2020 or Kenny Atkinson's 9-0?
Nate.
All right, you didn't answer.
Oh, I thought he said
Dick in Dayton. Which head coach's start to their Cleveland tenure is or was more impressive? Kevin Stefanski at 9-3 or Kenny Atkinson at 9-0?
Kenny Atkinson 9-0.
Why?
Go Cavaliers.
What? But why?
I don't know. I just Cavaliers. You know.
I mean, I like that you own that you didn't know, Dick. This is why you're Dick and Dayton.
We couldn't have found a better call representation of what we heard this morning than that right there. I don't know. Just go Cavs.
The Browns are going to maybe come out of this, but hey, guys, guess what I think?
What's that?
Go Cavs?
I think,
Cavs.
Truthfully.
I agree. Go Cavs.
Now, you've heard it from me.
Ooh.
I think they'll win only about 7 to 8 games.
This year?
Yes.
The Cavs?
No. The Browns will win maybe 7 or 8, and that's about it.
Okay.
But they've got two and seven.
How many of the Cavs winning, though? Are the Cavs getting to 70?
Yes, I think they will.
Okay, let's mark it down.
Dick, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good day.
Go okay, Cavs.
You too.
Go Cavs.
I agree. Go Cavs.
You realize there's only 8 games left, right? So to get to 7 or 8 wins, they've got to win 5 or 6 games of 8 games with double Pittsburgh games, another Cincy game, another Baltimore game. The Dolphins, who still are going to be the more dangerous team as long as Tua is on the field that week. The Chiefs, like your easy games from here, are the Saints and the Broncos.
I thought he was talking it like in a bad way. Like, oh, they're only going to get to 7 or 8.
That's also, I heard that,
That seemed like they're as if they're going to just limp to the finish line and getting to 7 or 8 wins.
I don't really know where to go after that one.
No, I did. I did think that was. I'm glad we went to Dick and Dayton because that was like the perfect encapsulation of how I felt listening and being like, "You guys are going 9-0 just because you love the Cavs and you want to be happy about the Cavs right now." But it doesn't make any actual sense because nobody would ever suggest that winning 9 in a row in the NBA is anywhere close to 9-3 in the NFL.
But why does it somehow diminish what the Cavs are doing? Both are wildly impressive. That's the weird thing, that somebody would take that as like, man, why are you bleeping all over the Cavs right now? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing I don't understand of like, just because you compare things doesn't mean that one thing is like trash.
Isn't it okay, though, to understand that that's why we care about the NFL so much as we do as a country, is because it's so hard every single week and winning isn't easy and all these other type of things, where the NBA regular season, for a lot of people, it goes in and then it goes out and you're just like, count me down to the postseason.
All right.
It just doesn't. It's not even the same sport sometimes, the regular season and postseason in the NBA.
We're playing with fire now, given how the first two calls of the segment have gone.
I got a good vibe about this one, though.
But Angelo in North Royalton. Angelo, which head coach's start to their Cleveland tenure was more impressive? Kevin Stefanski at 9-3 or Kenny Atkinson at 9-0?
Hands down, Stefanski.
Okay.
Not even close.
All right.
I mean, you gotta look at what they inherited when they came in. Atkinson's got 4 top players. They're playing well. And Stefanski came in with the jumbled mess that he had. Wasn't great, wasn't horrible, but wasn't a 9-3 team if we thought about it. So I think he's hands down a more impressive start, being, you know, just starting out.
Hey, but, Angelo, do you feel like Atkinson was maybe born on third base a la Ryan Day?
I think so. I mean, it's like the team's been getting better over the last couple of years.
There we go.
And it's not like he redid anything. He put maybe a better offense in, new offense, but these guys know each other. He didn't have to create any kind of gel with the team, if that makes sense.
That's okay. Thank
Angelo,
you,
Angelo, we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
How about that spin?
So is this basically, so we've said with the Browns that part of the pitch for the new quarterback is, well, he's not Deshaun. So is part of the pitch for Kenny Atkinson, like internally, if like Cavs are talking.
Was he not JB?
Is he's not JB?
I made that point a million times. Yes, that was like the number one thing is that I said they needed someone that was like JB, but just not JB.
Man, this guy's got a kind of slick back hair. He's just kind of a little kind of interesting energy. Yeah, but he's not JB.
Sometimes you just need a new face. That's all it was. They had the team. They just needed a new face, a new message, a new all that stuff.
I kind of think we glossed over the whole new offense thing there, just from where Angelo was.
I think we were probably right to do so.
I think the new offense is a pretty impressive thing, considering they're, second in the NBA in efficiency rating. But I digress. One segment to go next on 92.3 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.